the whole armor of God that we are going to go through the Christian warfare. And today we are going to go through chapter 6, verse 13. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures today. And so your Bibles, make sure that you will turn your Bibles pretty quickly. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, I'm going to start from verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So, what we are going to study is today, it's withstanding that evil day. And just to remind you, for us to get a background here a little bit, we are all, the battle begins, or the Christian spiritual warfare begins, when we are born again into this world. But as you know, that unbelievers, they too undergo, they also go through some hardship, they also go through some problems, some difficulties, they can also say they have battles and victories in life. But unbelievers without the Lord Jesus Christ end up in hell. Now, as I said, what's the difference between Christian warfare, Christian spiritual warfare, and what unbelievers and everybody else is going through? The Christian warfare, this is a spiritual warfare. It begins when we are born again. Especially a person who is born again is a person who is being called to holiness, called to purity. That means you have been living in darkness, and you have been born again by the power of God, and you have been brought to the marvelous light of Christ. You have salvation. You served the enemy before, now you are serving God. You change sides by the grace of God. You change sides. When you change sides, enemy is mad. Your flesh is being crucified. The world, you're going opposite to the will of the world. So, here we see people who are living in holiness, in obedience to God's word, worshipping God, serving Him. They are the people who will go through the Christian warfare. And if you say you're a Christian, and you're not living in holiness, and if you are not living in obedience to the will of God, and if you are not serving God and worshiping God in a biblical way, you will then go through the same problems and difficulties and battles and victories in life, well, just like the unbelievers have. And you might say, I'm going through some spiritual battles. Don't be deceived. That's not a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle is a person who will wear the whole armor of God. We are going to get into that later. Who will get in, that's the person. When you make a stand for the Lord, you are wearing the whole armor of God, you become a soldier for Jesus Christ, you are going to the battlefield to represent God and to glorify His name by worshipping and serving Him. That's where you meet. You encounter the enemy. Okay? So we need to take away any misunderstandings here. That's important. Now, there is a trinity of evil, as I said. That's the world, the flesh, and the enemy, Satan. Now, where did the battle... I'm going to get into this more with scripture. Now, where did the battle begin? Of course, it originally began in heaven, where Satan was kicked out then of course where we are concerned, it began in a paradise, the Garden of Eden. We know that Adam, when he was created, Adam was created holy. Adam was holy, perfect, without any sin. Now, if Adam was made without any sin, he was holy, when the tempter came, when the enemy came, if the enemy can deceive a righteous, holy, perfect man, and if Adam failed, how much more you and I who are unholy? Okay? Now we are going to see this later, but what I'm trying to say is Adam was holy, who was perfect, he became unholy because of the enemy. And it says in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God made us in the image of God. He made man. That image was broken. That image was shattered. But what happened? When Christ came, that was another battle when Christ came. Alright? He came to make unholy men to become holy. Okay? That image that was broken is restored. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 verse 9. Colossians 3:9. Says here, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. The old self here is your old Adamic nature with its practices, and will put on the new self. New self is your new in Christ Jesus, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of this Creator. Now you see that image that was broken is being restored by Christ Jesus. And it's renewed in knowledge. Before, we didn't have a knowledge of God when we were lost. Alright? And also Ephesians 4:24. And put on the new self. Again, Paul is saying here, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. That means the image of God, after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. The righteousness and holiness, we didn't have any of those. But in Christ, we have that righteousness and holiness. Alright. Now, there is a constant struggle that goes on in our life, in our old nature and the new nature. Our old nature did not completely die. It is still here. So there's a constant struggle that is going to go on, that will go on until we die, until this flesh has to die. And what a great day that's going to be when the flesh dies. That means when you're going to die, that your flesh is dead. That means you have victory after death. You're triumphant if you're a Christian, because your flesh is gone. The spirit is alive to God. Now, so important, if you turn with me to Ephesians, now let's see, verse 13 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God. Now, we are going to talk about the whole armor of God. Okay? And we are going to go very carefully, piece by piece, the whole armor of God. But when you talk about the whole armor of God, in just, you know, nutshell, in just one concept, what do you think about it? Or what is this whole armor of God? Basically, I believe the whole armor of God is that you're bearing the name of God. You're a Christian, okay? Basically, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're representing Christ. You're bearing His name. Alright? You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, basically. You have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you cannot fight against the enemy without the Lord Jesus Christ. To give you a little story here. If you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. 1 Samuel 17, 41. Many of you know this story since childhood. And if you remember the story, between the battle of Philistines and Israel, and there was a great giant in the Philistine camp called Goliath. That's a massive giant. People were afraid of him, scared of him. When they saw this big man, they ran away. But this little shepherd boy wasn't scared. He had boldness. He was in the spirit. His name was David. Verse 41 says, and the Philistine, here is a battle now. So Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but just a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. So when he saw David, man, not even a soldier, not even a guy who is in the army, in the soldier coming to fight with me, just a little youth coming to fight with me. And he got so overconfident that he can overthrow this little David in a matter of seconds. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you are coming with me with sticks? You know, David, he didn't even have a sword. He didn't have any armor on him. He's just coming with sticks and some stones. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. So he's mocking David. Now remember, what did David say? Now just imagine, think about it, how this little shepherd boy is going to fight against this massive giant. Think about it. Think about it. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't scared. He wasn't timid. But how did he go? How come did he get such confidence to go and fight against this giant? Listen what David said, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will struck and cut you down. And here David says, you come to me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come. That's where the confidence is. I come to you in the name of the living God. Well, that's where the whole spiritual arm is. That's where you put on the whole spiritual armor. You are bearing the name of God. You are coming in the name of God. Then it says here, and I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear. Here you go again. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hand. What power is this? Little boy against the giant. Not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle on their behind. Because we see He is coming in the name of God. Then, we'll see verse 55. As soon as Saul is a king now, saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner was the commander of the army, whose son is this youth? So the king was surprised and said, man, whose son is this, Abner? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. David wasn't even a popular. He wasn't even popular. He wasn't popular. And he was nobody in the world. But he was somebody in God. When you come in the name of God. You know, there's so much, there's power in the name of our Lord. Because as you know, Scripture says in Philippians that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow down. Every tongue will confess, right? There's so much power in the Lord. So, withstanding in the evil day, that was an evil day. And how did David withstand that day? He came in the name of the Lord. Now, when you talk about the evil day, you need to understand again, who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? In a Christian perspective, the enemy is been described, a lot of times we think straight as Satan, as the enemy. Yes, he is the enemy, but there are other two enemies we need to understand. As I said, there is the trinity of evil. There is an enemy which is called this world. The world is an enemy to our Christian walk. It's a hindrance for us to worship and to love Him and to serve Him, this world. Then there is a flesh. That means this flesh is an enemy. Then there is a devil. Now let us see some scriptures concerning the world. When I say the world, of course, this world we live, when I talk about the world that is being an enemy, what I'm talking is the riches of this world, the material things of this world, the comforts of this world, okay? That's what I mean. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Matthew 4, 8. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures at this time. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Here we see the enemy. The devil, he took Jesus. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Here again, we see all this. Satan says, I'm going to give this to you if you just worship me. That's an enemy for us. The same enemy who tempted Jesus will tempt us in the same way. He will tell us, well, look at this. Look how beautiful these things are. When you go to the mall, when you go outside for shopping, or when you get a little bit more money, Satan will say, look at that. That house is really nice, isn't it? Or this car is so beautiful, isn't it? Or, look at this. He will show all these things, and he will make you think about it, and you will compromise about this, and you say, yeah, maybe it's a good idea I should buy that. Right? Now, what's going to happen is, he's going to take your love away from Christ Jesus. Whatever that we are doing, if your love is being taken, if your first love is being taken, if your priority into the Word of God and your devotion is being taken away from you to anything of this world, that is an enemy. That is an enemy. It doesn't matter what. Even work, it is an enemy. I don't care what it happens, because we have got to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. So whatever you do, because He is called the Prince of this world. John chapter 14, 30, Jesus said He is a Prince of this world. Okay? He wanted to give all the glories and the splendor to Jesus. And also Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return to this life? So Jesus is saying here, you know, this is an enemy. Enemy will try to seduce you, to brainwash you, he will try to compromise with you. You know, enemy speaks to the mind. The battlefield is in the mind. And you will be thinking, but the enemy is there. There are a lot of demons we don't know, we don't see. And they will influence you to get more wealthy, more riches, get more comfortable, all these things so that you will forget the Lord gradually. That's an enemy. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of mind, by testing, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to be discerning what is the will of God is. What is the will of God? The will of God is to be obedient to His word. That's very short sense. That is it. Obedient to His word. Okay. We are living in a day today, especially in this country, and there's so much temptations wherever you look. You put the TV on, buy, buy, buy. You television commercials will say, well, you had this before, but now you need this. Everything new. Buy, buy. See how many yard sales that you have. Because people buy, they buy, then after that they buy something new and they throw. So, there are, in the very poor countries, they don't have yard sales. Because what they have is their treasure. That's all they have. They have just a bed to sleep and a table to have their food, you know, just a little pots and pans, and that's it. You know, they are not being bombarded by television and peer pressure from the world. They are not. But here, people are conforming to the world. That's an enemy. That's an enemy. Enemy that is coming, and we need to understand this. We are talking spiritual warfare here. The world is not going to teach this. Okay? As we need to understand, that is an enemy. So we need to hate this world. And now, turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 18. John 15:18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before. It hated you. So, when you are not going to conform to the ways of the world, when your friends are going to say that you are going to be different, they are going to hate you. Your own friends in the world, they will hate you. When that happens, you should be happy that you are a Christian. You are doing the will of God. If that doesn't happen, you should be sad. Maybe you're compromising. Okay? Then he says here, if you were of this world, the world would love as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore, world hates you. You know, we are living in a day today, a lot of people, they don't want to be hated by the world. They want the world and the Lord, both. You cannot have both here, Jesus said. Either the world will hate you. In this scripture, it says either the world will hate you or the world will love you. If you conform to the world will love you. If you don't conform to the world will hate you. And they will mock at you. And remember, Jesus said, the world hated me first. So these are things that we need to take it very seriously to our heart. Not just listen about it and just go home not thinking about it, but meditating upon this, and that we will live what the Word of God says. Now, about the flesh. As another enemy. The flesh. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Romans 12:13 says, Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly in the day, as in the daytime, not in the orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in sensuality, not in quarreling jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Here again, another enemy, that is this flesh. This flesh, it wants to gratify its desires. That means, before I was a Christian, I would gratify what my flesh would desire. That means if my flesh desires to go and eat and eat and eat, if I have a lot of money, I would do that. If my flesh desires go enjoy in a party, I will do that. If my flesh desires to go get drunk, I will do that. If my flesh desires whatever it desires, I will fulfill it. If my flesh desires to sexual immorality, for drunkenness, for sensuality, for jealousy, envy, gossip, lying, whatever, I will do. But now you're a Christian. You don't go according to the ways of the flesh. You know, pride, all these things. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. This is the opposite of the flesh, okay? And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are what? Against the Spirit. So there is a battle between the Spirit and the flesh. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing these things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. What are they? Sexual immorality, impurity. Impurity means against holiness. Okay, not purity, impurity. Sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Paul goes on with this list on and on and on. You can go on with all the things of your flesh. Those are the things that we are going through. As that's another enemy. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We live according to the passions of our flesh before, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, were by nature the children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So we did anything that is desires according to our mind, passions of this mind and body, we did it. The poor people, a lot of poor people, they cannot do it because they don't have the money to do it. They are being restrained. But if they have the money, they will do it too. If they don't have the Lord. Okay? Now again, we see, turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. 1 John 2:16. And it says here, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Again we see the flesh and the world. And these things are not from God. But how many times I hear Christians, oh, I have been blessed. You know, that person is so blessed because, you know, look at their big houses, all the cars, and all the wealth that is given. Well, the Bible doesn't see that. I see totally opposite of those things. I see totally opposite what the Bible says. So, what people say, the Bible doesn't say that. Now, about the devil, as our last enemy. The devil, he comes. A lot of times the devil will come as a friend. He will come as a friend. Remember, how did Satan approach Adam and Eve? Did he come as an enemy? No. He came as a friend. Remember, in the same way, there will be enemies. Satan can use your own friends to take away from God, from the love of God, by serving God. This is what is called unequally yoked. It's not right together with unbelievers. Your own friends will come and will talk about other things, gossip, and things of worldly nature, things that is not godly, not Christian. And you, if you will laugh and join with them, that is not pleasing to God. Because you're doing just the opposite will of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's very important for us to understand this. Because that's why as Christians, last week we studied on exercising church discipline, formative church discipline, and the other one is corrective church discipline. That means if somebody is saying something not right, talking something that is ungodly, not Christian-like, what do? We need to go and talk to that person personally and say, this is not right what you're doing. Because this is for the purity of the body. If you exercise discipline for your own children, how much more the church should do that? If your job exercises discipline for the job, how much more the church should do that? Okay? And so Satan can come as a friend. We need to be careful. It's deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. Apostle Paul gave us a warning here. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Starting from verse 2, I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I have betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. There you go. Satan will come as a friend and will deceive you. And he will use your own friends to do that, probably your own family to do that. Okay? That's why we need to be careful, because he did it for Adam and Eve. Alright. The next thing is, Satan will come also as a roaring lion, the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Says here, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And here we see, he's always prowling. Have you seen those geographic movies, how the lion prowls, you know, very quietly, slowly, looking for the deer, and he will catch the deer. That is the weakest one, right? Who cannot run fast, who cannot escape, that's going to be his dinner. In the same way, if you are weak in Christ Jesus, then Satan can devour you as a roaring lion. Then the Bible says, then the enemy, Satan, will come as an angel of light. He will come as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise of his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond their deeds. Now, here we see that Satan comes as an angel of light. It means he will come with a Bible. False teachers will not come to the pulpit and say, by the way, I'm a false teacher. No. Jehovah's Witnesses will now come and tell you, hey, we are Jehovah's Witnesses, we are all false teachers. They won't tell that. The Mormons will not tell they are false teachers. They will say, oh yeah, we love Jesus. We know Jesus. Jesus, we trust in Him. But ask them, who are you? What do you believe? Who is your Jesus? Does your Jesus, to the Jehovah's Witness, he's just an angel. He's not the God-man Jesus. For the Mormons, their Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. That's their Jesus, brother of Lucifer. So everybody, these false teachers, will come in sheep clothing. Very nice looking, very sincere people, very nice people, but inside their hearts are what? Wolves. Got to be careful here. That's why we need to take out the false clothing. And so Satan will come as an angel of light. Now, these are your own friends. Your own friends will come like this. Probably some of the ministers in the gospel will come like this. Maybe some of your relatives will come like this, okay? Will come wearing spiritual clothing. That's why we need to be careful here. Now we saw all these are the enemies that come in. The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's where we need to know how to withstand in the day of evil. Now, very shortly, I'm going to go through very quickly here. There are four great spiritual battles that had happened. I'm talking spiritual battles. One was the battle of Satan against God in heaven, where Satan lost. He was thrown down from heaven. The second was the battle of Satan against man, without the God-man Jesus, where Satan had the battle against Adam and Satan won. But he won because there was no Jesus Christ. There was no God-man Jesus. The third is the battle of Satan against Jesus, the God-man. And Satan thought he won, but he lost. The fourth is what? It had a battle. The fourth is the battle of Satan against Peter. But here Peter was joined with Jesus, united with Jesus, the man, God-man Jesus. Temporarily looked like Peter lost, but Peter won. Spiritual warfare is, we need to look at, mostly look at the second of these, we need to look the battle of Adam and Peter where we are concerned. The first battle, Adam, as I say, was without sin, he was holy, he was perfect. He could have won, right? Because he was perfect, he was righteous, he was holy, he could have won. Yet, he fell, he lost, he sinned, he lost the battle. Why? He did not have the strength of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The next battle we see is very similar. When Peter, just imagine, when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, and Peter said, he laughed. And if he laughed and he said, even if I fall away, I will not deny you. I will even ready to go to the prison, and I will even die for you. You get how many eyes are there? I. Satan saw Peter's weakness, and Peter was the target, and he's going to be like chicken feet for Satan. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. See, it's going to be chicken feed. He's going to sift Peter like wheat, because He saw Peter's weakness. Peter had a lot of weaknesses. Peter was weak. He was proud. He was arrogant. And you can see the way he talked. He thought that he can, nobody is going to deceive me. I'm pretty strong. Whenever you think like that, you're going to be a target from Satan. But I praise God that our beloved Savior, He saw Peter's weakness. Jesus, our Savior, He sees our weaknesses and He's interceding for us. And then Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Verse 33. Peter said to him, now this is what Peter said to him, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. But Jesus said, I'll tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. But Jesus said, and he said to him, when I sent you back, verse 31, behold, Satan demanded to have you, but he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Here we see our beloved Savior. In other words, it's saying, Peter, you're weak in yourself. That's what Jesus is saying. You're weak. But I'm going to be with you, Peter. You will fall just temporarily. But don't worry. I have prayed for you. You will not fall, Peter. You will not. You know what? There is a hymn that's called, Lord, We Are Able. Probably, this hymn, probably it was written by Peter. I'm not saying Peter wrote it, okay? It was a good way that Peter should have written this hymn. Lord, we are able. Why? Because Peter said, Lord, I am able. I am able. But when he was tempted by the powerful enemy, Satan, Peter was not able. So he reversed the hymn. And said, Lord, we are able because I am united with you. I am in Christ. What do we say here? What do we see? What we are seeing is even in our best spiritual condition, we cannot win with Satan. Even in our best, perfect spiritual condition, when we meet Satan head to head, we cannot win with him. Because if Adam, he was holy, righteous, he was the best man we have ever had. And if he fell, we cannot win either. So the lesson we see here is, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Apostle Paul said, chapter 12, verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. There you go. When we realize that we are weak, when you go to your battles and you see that you are weak in these sins and you cannot win, You are defeated in these sins. You always fall. And you realize, God, I cannot help it. I cannot do it. And ask the Lord to help you. When you are weak, then you are strong in His grace. That's why we have our beloved Savior. He is always interceding for the saints and praying for the saints. But we need to realize that we are weak. No battle was ever won without the Lord Jesus Christ. No battle can ever be won without the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like David came, I come in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. That's how you come against the enemy. You cannot go by yourself. That's why we need to realize that we are sinners. We are weak. Even though we are sinners, we are weak. Creatures, still, our flesh is weak. And we need to humble ourselves and fall at our feet and pray and ask the Lord to help us. And that He will give us the strength to win the battle. Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through what? as well. So, beloved, listen to what the whole thing what we learned today is, live close to the cross. Not away from the cross. Live close to the cross. That means live in Christ Jesus. Live close to Christ. Live with Him. Whenever you depart from away from Christ, you cannot do all things through Christ Jesus, because then you are depending on yourself. So don't become lukewarm. Don't compromise. Don't get into your flesh. Don't walk your own way. You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word, prayer, service, witnessing, and fellowship. All these things are essential that you're living Christian. That means you're not, when the church finishes, you're not going to take your things away and say, Lord, see you next Sunday. No. You're still in the eyes of God. You're still serving God. You serve God as a lifestyle. When you're in your speech, so we need to be very careful how we talk, how we behave, how we act, and how we live, because we are living in the very presence of God. And that is true spiritual worship. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord God Almighty, for the lessons that You are teaching us today, Lord. For the lessons that we have learned and what we are going to learn, Lord. And we pray and ask, Lord, all the words of God would just penetrate at to the very bottom of our hearts, Lord. That it will, very roots of our soul, Lord, it will penetrate. And that, Lord, that minds, the enemy will come, and soon after the church is finished, the enemy will come and take away everything what we heard. And he's so cunning and so good doing that. And after 15 minutes, we have forgotten the whole sermon. Because the enemy is coming to blind us, to trick us. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that we will not forget, that we will meditate all the things we have learned, and that we would be strong in You, Lord. Just like how You told Joshua, when Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel against the Canaanites to the battlefield, the advice that we need to remember. Be strong in the Lord. Meditate upon the Word of God day and night. Walk by it. So, Father, that we would be true Christians, that we would not be hypocrites, Lord, saying one thing and doing one thing and living another thing, another way, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that You would convict our sins, Lord, and that we would walk in Your ways, Lord, that we will glorify Your name, Lord, in this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.